this rate with his respect in the scholarly world increasing, he might soon become a recognized figure amongst his countrymen. But he had his vision set on the West. And with the third volume now printed, he felt he was at last prepared. He was 69 and would have to go soon. It had been more than 40 years since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had first asked a young householder in Calcutta to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. At first it had seemed impossible to Abhay Charan, who had so recently entered family responsibilities. That obstacle, however, had long ago been removed, and for more than 10 years he had been free to travel. But he had been penniless, and still was. And he had wanted to publish first some volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam to take with him. It had seemed necessary if he were to do something solid. Now, by Krishna's grace, three volumes were on hand. Srila Prabhupada states, "I planned that I must go to America. Generally, they go to London, but I did not want to go to London. I was simply thinking how to go to New York. I was scheming whether I shall go this way, through Tokyo, Japan, or that way. Which way is cheaper?" That was my proposal. And I was targeting to New York always. Sometimes I was even dreaming that I have come to New York. Then Bhaktivedanta Swami met Mr. Agarwal, a Mathura businessman, and mentioned to him in passing, as he did to almost everyone he met, that he wanted to go to the West. Although Mr. Agarwal had known Bhaktivedanta Swami for only a few minutes, he volunteered to try to get him a sponsor in America. This was something Mr. Agarwal had done a number of times. When he met a sadhu who mentioned something about going abroad to teach Hindu culture, he would ask his son Gopal, an engineer in Pennsylvania, to send back a scholarship form. When Mr. Agarwal volunteered to help in this way, Bhaktivedanta Swami urged him, "Please do so." Srila Prabhupada says, "I did not say anything seriously to Mr. Agarwal, but perhaps he took it very seriously. I asked him, 'Well, why don't you ask your son Gopal to sponsor so that I can go there? I want to preach there.' But Bhaktivedanta Swami knew he could not simply dream of going to the West. He needed money. In March 1965, he made another visit to Bombay, attempting to sell his books. Again, he stayed at the free Dharmashala, Prem Kutir. But finding customers was difficult. He met Paramananda Bhagwani, a librarian at Jai Hind College, who purchased books for the college library and then escorted Bhaktivedanta Swami to a few likely outlets. Mr. Bhagwani remembers, "I took him to the popular book depot at Grant Road to help him in selling books. But they told us they couldn't stock the books because they don't have much sales on religion. Then we went to another shop nearby, and the owner also regretted his inability to sell the books. Then he went to Saduvela near Mahalakshmi Temple, and we met the head of the temple there. He, of course, welcomed us. They have a library of their own, and they stock religious books. So we approached them to please keep a set there in their library. They are a wealthy ashram. And yet, he also expressed his inability.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita Ki.
Ramtrod is where Radha Gopinath stands today. Temple is at Ramtrod.
Is it really grand?
Yeah, actually that area is very affluent. All the big industrialists, business people. Very nice in my house, so I'm missing all those areas now.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chivam Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasatatasaya Mudiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Naranarayana Rishi, the supreme human being, and Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Savakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yad kripatamaham vande shri gurum janatarana. Нам Ом Вишну Падая, Кришна Пуштха Бхатале, Шри Шримад Бхакти Виданта, с вами идти на мене. Намасте, Сарасвата Деви, Горавани Прачарине, Нирвишайша Шуньявади, Паштитя Даштарине. Джай Шри Кришна Читания, Прабху Нитьянанда, Шри Адвайта, Гададхара Шри Вас, Ади Гору Бхакта Вринда. Харе Кришна, Кришна Кришна, Харе Харе, Харе Рама, Харе Рама, Рама Рама, Харе Харе. So yesterday we started new chapter. It's chapter 4 of Canto 5, the characteristics of Rishabhadeva. And today's second verse. So this Rishabhadeva, the supreme personality of Godhead. Again, no meter, I'm sorry. So I just read the Sanskrit and we will read the translation. Tasya hava itam varshmana variyasa brihachlokena. Чоджаса балена шрия, яшаса вирья шорьябьям, ча питар шаба итидам нама чакара.
Word for word translation. Тася. Of him.
Хава.
Certainly.
Итам.
Вяс.
Варшмана.
By the bodily features.
Варияса.
Most exalted.
Брихат шлокена.
Decorated with all the high qualities.
Described by poets.
Ча.
Also.
Оджаса.
By prowess.
Балена.
By strength.
Shriya.
By beauty.
Yashasa.
By fame.
Virya Suryabhyam.
By influence and heroism.
Cha.
And
Pita, the father, Maharaja Nabi. Rishabha, the best. Iti, that. Idan, this. Nama, name. Chakara, gave. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the son of Maharaja Nabi became visible, he evinced all good qualities described by the great poets, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaja Nabi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the Supreme Being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. Purport. To accept someone as God or an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms were found in the body of Maharaja Nabi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured, and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence, and he could control his mind and senses. Consequently, he was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was supreme living being. I read the verse again. When the son of Maharaja Nabi became visible, he evinced all good qualities described by the great poets, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaja Nabi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the Supreme Being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. We can see from this description that that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears or his Shakti Avesha avatars appears, there are also certain marks on their bodies, or like their bodies possess some special qualities which are described in the Shastras. Like we can read in the Nectar of Devotion of Srila Prabhupada in the chapter Qualities of Sri Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Srila Rupa Goswami, after consulting various scriptures, has enumerated the transcendental qualities of the Lord as follows. He has enumerated how many qualities? Who remembers?
32.
Yeah, just twice. 64. Yeah. He just enumerated there 64 of them. And first two are: one, beautiful features of the entire body. So beautiful features of the entire body. His body is beautiful. Second, marked with all auspicious characteristics. And then again, what is described here, like five is strong, and so on. I just wanted to speak a little bit about the beautiful features of the entire body and marked with all auspicious characteristics. Because this is very important. Krishna is all attractive. And when he appears, he is so attractive. Like in the material world, there is always duality. We call somebody beautiful, handsome, and somebody is ugly. Not so beautiful. Yes, something is good, something is bad. But when Lord appears, his body is completely and in the spiritual world, there is no duality. So in the spiritual world, it can be perfect, more perfect, and the most perfect. This comparison doesn't exist in this world because it's either bad or good or like ugly or beautiful. But he's extremely beautiful. And his bodily features are extremely beautiful. It's again from the Nectar of Devotion. One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his manifested personal feature. He exclaimed, "How wonderful is the personal feature of Lord Krishna! Now, how his neck is just like a conch shell. His eyes are so beautiful, as for they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. His body is just like the tamal tree, very blackish. His head is protected with a canopy of hair. There are the marks of Srivats on his chest, and he is holding his conch shell. By such beautiful bodily features, the enemy of the demon Madhu has appeared so pleasing that he can bestow upon me the transcendental bliss simply by my seeing his transcendental qualities. So when we are so fortunate that we can see the Lord with our eyes, we can be bestowed with transcendental bliss simply by looking at the Lord. And as we know, Diti form is Krishna himself. So Diti is not different from Krishna. So by looking at the Diti, Krishna bestows on us transcendental bliss. I guess every one of us know that. Yeah, that's why sometimes we just stare at the Ditis. We stand there and sometimes during the class, like, we listen to the lecture, but I know sometimes some of us, we just look at the Ditis or we just chant our japa in front of the Ditis. Why? Because there is reciprocation. There is reciprocation. We are getting blissful just by looking at Krishna, looking at him in his form or the Diti. Mm-hmm. And then it is described like beautiful bodily features. Again from the Nectar of Devotion. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. You say comparison or comparison? Comparison. Yeah, thank you. To understand by material comparison. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are powerful, just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like two pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is just like a doorway. His hips are dense, and the middle of his body is a terrace. So there's a comparisons, material, just to give us some little understanding how beautiful is the Lord. But he's more beautiful than the material description, because it just, with our material eyes, this is what we can perceive. Yes, but with transcendental eyes, like even just by looking at the Diti, we get tremendous bliss, spiritual bliss. Yes, so it's something beyond that beauty. Then second is auspicious characteristics. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaja, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, "My dear king of the cowherds, I can find 32, that's what you were saying, 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I am wondering how this boy could have taken his birth in a family of a cowherd man. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaja Nanda despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. The business of the Vaishya community is trade, commerce, and the protection of the cows. Therefore, his friend, who may have been born into a Brahmana family, expressed his wonder at how such an exalted child could take birth in a family of Vaishyas. Anyway, he pointed out the auspicious size on the body of Krishna to the boy's foster father." That's also very interesting, because this is according to material calculation, birth in Kshatriya family is higher than birth in a Vaishya family. Yes, like according to material calculation. But here we can see that Lord, he chooses whatever he likes. It's his sweet view to be a covered boy. So that's very sweet feature of his personality. He continued, "This boy has a reddish luster in 7 places." Okay, that's Pierre Mohanprabhu. He likes to ask this question. Who knows where Krishna's body has reddish luster?
Arms, lips, eyes.
Okay, wait. arms where?
Huh?
Arms? You said arms?
Oh, no, I said palms.
Palms, yes.
Yes. That
lips? Yes.
Eyes?
Eyes.
Nails.
Wait. Yes, nails. Mm-hmm. What else? So, yeah, it's also the feet. And two more. That's the most difficult. It's not here, but it's close.
Nose?
It's,
no.
Nose. It's somewhere on the face.
Cheeks.
Very close. Lips, they said already.
Cheeks.
No, okay. I also want to guess, like his palate and his tongue. And palate is like inside, yes? Palate? Yeah. So that's like, so this boy has a reddish luster in 7 places. A reddish luster in these 7 places is considered to be auspicious. 3 parts of his body are very broad. Also like in our life, we can see that like, say if children and people, they have reddish palms and reddish feet that symbolize, it's like really, it's showing that one has good health. Because it means that blood circulating good. Because of the blood, red blood, they are reddish. So it's like good blood circulation. A reddish luster in these 7 places is considered to be auspicious. 3 parts of his body are very broad. Okay.
I'm going to listen to somebody else.
Yes.
Chest.
Yes. And?
Hips.
No, third one is actually, I cannot understand, but it's... No.
It's the hips, it's hips.
Broad.
Well, not wide, broad.
Shoulders.
No, but they told that. Forehead, chest. I won't guess that. It's his waist. Because it looks like very thin, but it is said it is broad. I don't know, it's written here. 3 parts of his body are short.
His teeth.
Short.
Oh, that's small.
Not sharp, short. Yes, neck. So two of you. Shishirada Gupvalbu Kijan. Yes, genitals. Neck, genitals, and
teeth.
Not sharp, short.
No, he has short teeth, a small teeth.
Size, yes. I'm sorry, Nectar of Devotion says something.
Okay.
Yeah. So altogether we guess, right? Yeah. So 3 parts of his body are short. His neck, thighs, and genitals. 3 parts of his body are very deep.
Voice.
Navel. And third one?
Countenance.
What's that?
His attitude.
Eyes?
Not exactly.
Intelligence.
I said that.
I didn't ask what is deep, we just came to that. Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear when you said that. Okay, their highness in 5 parts of his body.
Cheeks, their what?
Highness,
nose.
High, raised,
oh,
like high. Nose. Yeah, first is his nose.
His cheeks.
Cheeks, it's not mentioned here.
Okay.
Something near the cheeks.
Shoulders.
You're reading a different book, I guess.
This is BBT translation. So, there is highness, like rise, in 5 parts of his body. His nose, his arms,
eyebrows.
I guess, it's not described, but I guess it's like high shoulders, so because some people...
It's shoulders more than
the arms. That's translation, that's how it's said here. His nose, arms. But what can be high, like... As I who knows what does it mean? Because I thought that means that like his shoulder stands from there and like they're high raised, no?
It just means that they're high set as opposed to sloping down. I have down sloping.
So probably high set, yeah. I don't know. Should probably ask Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so there's a his nose, his arms, ears. Yeah, forehead, That's all the snow. It's like long, yeah, raised forehead. And thighs. Again, it's probably high raise or whatever it's called. In five parts of his body, there is fineness.
Fineness?
Yeah, fine.
Oh, small.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, hair. Not, yeah, hairs. Yes, his hair.
What?
Yeah.
Hair. Fine hair.
Fine hair. Yeah. Okay. Fine hair on his head and on the other parts of his body. So it counts as two. So there are three more.
Yeah.
His teeth, his skin, because we remember how, like, gopis, they say, oh, your lotus feet, like, skin is so soft that if you step on our breast, you will feel, you know, or something like, if you step on the, you remember that?
Right. No, it'll hurt your feet, because the softest part of our body is harder, or your lotus feet is softer than the softest part of our body, so if you keep your lotus feet on our chest, it will hurt you.
Thank you. And fifth one is fingertips. Very soft. And the aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. So it's also like Krishna himself and great personalities. Because we can also see that what is called in this material world as good janma, good birth, like in good family, aristocratic family, sometimes we can see that even by their appearance, you can recognize, like, you know, in India, like, you know, very thin skeleton, very aristocratic, like, appearance here. So you can say even by appearance sometimes in which family one born. But this is material. And, okay, and the fate lines on the palm are also considered to be auspicious bodily symptoms. In this connection, one old gopi informed King Nanda, your son possesses various wonderful fate lines on his palms. There are the signs of lotus flowers and wheels on his palms. And on his soles, there are the signs of a flag, a thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephant, and a lotus flower. Please observe how auspicious these signs are. I just took something, it's from Iskon Desire Trinet, and it is written, at least I can just read, I'm sure you want to memorize, at least I won't. So on Krishna's lotus feet, I guess it was Radha's, this way. It's Krishna's. Krishna's lotus feet. There are, on his foot, there are 19 auspicious marks. Or maybe it was Radharani's feet. I have to find it out.
Radharani's 19.
Radharani 19? 8
and 11.
8 and 11. Oh, so it's 8 and 11, so probably it's Radharani's. Sorry. And on her feet, 35, 18, and 17. Radharani's feet, no, or Krishna's feet? On feet, yes. Right lotus hand. Oh, this is about hands. Yeah, on hands there's 35. Yeah, this is about Radharani. Somehow just copied only about Radharani. Okay, I just read them all. So there are 8 auspicious marks on. You said Radharani's feet, yes.
So,
8 and 11. Yeah. So there are 8. Sacrificial altar, like right lotus feet, mountain, conch, kunda earrings. I don't know, kunda, like in the form of
peacock.
Peacock.
Peacock-shaped earrings.
Oh, thank you. Club, chariot, spear, and fish. This is Radharani's right lotus feet. And Radharani's left lotus feet has 11 most auspicious marks. Barleycorn, disc, upcurving line, lotus, umbrella, elephant god, flag, jeweled bangle, flower, flowery twig, half moon. And on her hands, there are 18 auspicious marks on left one and 17 on right. And so there are many of them. And I just read the meaning of some of them, just what we know, because it's like we won't memorize, at least, I don't know. So half moon. So where is that half moon? It's on her feet, on her left. Oh, you know. Okay, this mark symbolizes how lotus feet truly provide the desired objectives of the devotees. It signifies that even devatas, like Lord Shiva, whose symbol is a half moon, have decorated their own heads with the soles of their feet. It also shows that devotees who likewise decorate their own head with their feet can become exalted like Lord Shiva. Just as the moon showers nectar with its cooling rays, similarly, the lotus feet shower nectar upon the devotees, extinguishing the threefold material miseries. So that the minds of the devotees may reside at the feet, they bear the symbol of the moon, which is the devata or presiding deity of the mind, upon the feet, presiding deity of the mind. Just as the moon is one, yet it destroys the darkness seen by many people simultaneously. Similarly, the Lord is one, and yet by his cleverness, he can deliver many souls at the same time. The half moon also indicates that since Lord's toenails appear like 10 splendorously full moons, the real moon has shriveled up in shame and appears in half form. That's beautiful. Okay, what else you want? Which symbol to read? I just tell you and you choose. Fish, okay. So there is fish. So fish is also on?
The base of right foot.
Okay, the base of right foot of Radharani. Fish. Fish, Matsya. This mark shows that just as a fish cannot live without water, similarly, the surrendered devotees cannot live a moment without directly associating with the feet. It also shows that all the most cherished desires and longings of those who resort to lotus feet will be truly fulfilled. It also means that the mind is very fickle, just like a fish who wavers this way and that. And so only after much meditation do the feet finally come into the heart. It also been liquefied by soft. It also indicates that lotus feet will come to live in one's heart only if the heart has been liquefied by soft, loving emotions. The feet do not thrive where it is dry. It's not dry philosophy, just loving sentiments. So that's a fish. Okay, and just one more. Which one?
Barleycorn.
Okay, I hope it's here. Just wait. Oh, it's not here. Yeah, I mean, there is no description. Yeah, it's like unfortunate. I have umbrella, altar, club, flower, lotus, thunderbolt, flag, god, like the mark. Thunderbolt, okay. Vajra, thunderbolt. This mark reveals that meditation on lotus feet smashes to pieces the mountain of the devotees' karmic reactions to past sins. Haribo! It also indicates that whoever holds on to the feet becomes as exalted as Lord Indra, whose weapon is the thunderbolt. And I just read the lotus, because I like flowers. Sorry. Lotus, Kamala. This mark increases greed for nectar in the minds of the bee-like devotees who meditate on lotus feet. The lotus also signifies that just as the lotus grows out of water, similarly, those whose eyes swell with tears upon holding the divine lotus feet to their heart receive the highest benefit. This mark also shows that the goddess of fortune, Sri Lakshmi Devi, always resides at his feet, rendering humble service. It signifies that his feet are so soft that they can only be compared to lotus petals. Indeed, upon first glancing at the lotus feet, you would think you are directly seeing fresh lotus blossoms. As we can see, Gopi Valbha has reddish soles of the feet. If you just come closer. Radharani too, but we can see it only on Radhashtami. It also reveals that just as the lotus blooms by day and contracts by night, similarly, those who remain steeped in meditation on lotus feet always feel the blossoming unfoldment of brilliant sattvic ecstasies that dispel the darkness of ignorance. So if you always meditate on lotus feet, we will never be in darkness of ignorance. We never will fall asleep. It also means that the bee of the devotee's mind cannot fly beyond the bondage of dry jnana, knowledge, and vairagya, renunciation, without the temptation offered by the superior nectar of the lotus feet. So we need mercy from the lotus feet to go beyond just dry knowledge and renunciation to the loving sentiments. So this is just something little few, because if I read everything, like I just will forget. I don't know how about you. And also I wanted to read from chapter 23 of Nectar of Devotion. Oh, just a little bit and we will finish. In the Mahavaraha Purana, it is confirmed that the transcendental bodies are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansions are all existing eternally. Such bodies are never material. They are completely spiritual and full of knowledge. They are reservoirs of all transcendental qualities. In the Vishnu Yamala Tantra, there is a statement that because the Personality of Godhead and His expanded bodies are always full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity, they are always free from the 18 kinds of material contaminations: illusion, fatigue, errors, roughness, material lust, restlessness, pride, envy, violence, disgrace, exhaustion, untruth, anger, hankering, dependence, desire to lord over the universe, sin, duality, and cheating. That's very beautiful. And so I just read the verse again, just that we will remember what we were reading about. When the son of Maharaja Nambi became visible, he evinced all good qualities described by the great poets, named a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead: prowess, strength, beauty, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaja Nambi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings or the supreme being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabha. So, as I already mentioned, in the material world, we also can see that some people have so-called good birth, some have so-called low birth. But the beauty of devotional service is that there is no disqualification to start devotional service. One can be born in so-called low family, one can be born ugly or not intelligent at all, one can be very poor, but the only qualification is our desire to attend pure devotional service, and we have to get mercy of a pure devotee. So pure devotional service is so beautiful, and by the grace of our acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada and of our acharyas, we can do devotional service, all of us. There is no disqualification. Krishna is very kind. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Please, some of your comments, or maybe some questions, whatever. Yes, Chetamaya. Yes. Of auspicious signs. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Samudrika. Yeah. Samudrika. I'll do it.
So we can see these features around us, but there's very few, it's very rare to find them all in one person. But you can see some of them in people, and you can say, it's nice to focus on, say, this person has these nice qualities. Just as you would focus on their inner qualities, it's good to focus on the positive attributes that each person is born with.
Yeah, it's good also because sometimes there's self-proclaimed avatars, as we know. And we know it's from this, like, Krishna book. What was his name? Paundraka, yeah? He put, like, two extra hands. And he was absolutely sure that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He even challenged to Krishna. He said, I'm real Vasudeva. Come and fight with me. Yeah, so he cheated himself. But just to be sure, like, and in our age, in modern age, there are so many like really self-proclaimed avatars. They say, I'm that avatar, I'm that avatar. So just we can check, even just starting with their appearance, are all these auspicious features present in their bodies? If they are not, that's first proof they are not really avatars. And also, like, all, I think all avatars, or most prominent avatars, about their appearance, it's written in the Shastras. Should be mentioned somewhere. And also, as I mentioned, there is some duality in the material world, and we are given chance, like, some may have very good birth even in a family of a devotees, but then it's also up to the person to become a devotee or not to become a devotee. So sometimes even appearance can cheat, but of course not the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I'm incorrect, please correct me. So because in the material world, with the material eyes, we see the duality. But it is said that in God's body, duality does not exist. In the in the spiritual world, there is no duality. Duality means good and bad. Mm-hmm. And opposite.
I'm wondering, in the spiritual world, all bodies have these features?
I'm not sure about that. Amarnath Prabhu, do you know?
That's in Vaikuntha. Types of liberation. So which of one of which is looking like the Supreme Lord? So there are even stories where the Vishnudutas approach the king and the king thinks it's Vishnu. Then he doesn't find the Sri Vatsa mark, the Kaustubha Mani, and the peacock feather. He says, oh, this is, so they're the Vishnudutas, but they're not Vishnu. So they enjoy a little Vishnu. No, we're not Vishnu.
And Galopa Vrindavan, everyone looks different. And you can read descriptions of like great devotees such as Shiv Goswamis and others. They will describe for us little bit how they look. Their skin is different color. They prefer to wear, like, they have favorite colors. Not all wear yellow.
It's nice in those symbols. Out of the four symbols, we read three symbols. I was reading somewhere where it said that when they spoke about the moon, said that the moon actually represents Vrindavan Chandra, Shri Krishna, and the Supreme Lord of all causes is at the feet of Srimati Radharani. The moon is at the feet of Radharani. And then there was this description of the fish. And then it said that the Supreme Lord could become the fish and save the whole creation, but he still remains at the feet of Srimati Radharani as Matsya Avatar, the fish. But he still remains at the feet of Srimati Radharani. And then the lotus. So that he could, in Vaikuntha he could be Lakshminath. Lakshmi is represented by the lotus. But he still remains at the feet of Radharani.
Still remains at the feet of Radharani.
So the love of Radharani actually causes the Supreme Lord of all causes to be at his feet.
She is the best. Krishna's story. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.